Thank you. The recordings have started. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. On today's first call of the at-large ad hoc ICANN Accessibility Working Group call on Thursday, the 13th of February at 1900 UTC, we have Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Glenn McKnight, Jolie McPhee, Siranush Vardanyan, Garth Bruin, Gunella Ospring. We don't have any apologies. And from staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, and myself, Gisela Gruber. If I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Cheryl.
Thank you very much, Gisela, and this is Cheryl for the transcript record. When I speak, I hear just a little bit of a reverberation. Is that coming true for everyone else or just for me?
No, I'm
hearing a little bit of an echo or reverberation, yeah.
Okay. Is that any better? If not, I'll try another setup. No, I'm still hearing it a little bit. Okay, well, I'll fiddle with my technology while we get going. The first thing I'd like to do, and I do apologise for the slight echo, we actually have a new phone system in and getting a little bit used to it. Delight I have of convening this first call for what I believe in is an essential aspect for any global or indeed not even global but to be a successful organisation is indeed having a focus on the accessibility of their outreach, their ability to be in reach to and of their processes. So this is a very exciting thing and I'm thrilled to pieces with it. We've got a number of discussion items and yes, we do wish to switch to that now. Gunella, thanks. Gisela, thanks very much. But just before we get going, I do think, and I now have a kookaburra chorus outside my window, so that's even more noise. I do apologise a little more. I do think it might be a good idea just to do a quick round robin and to get to know each other. Not specifically in an ICANN context, but in the context of our interests and perhaps our experiences in this specific world of accessibility. And you'll notice I keep using the word accessibility, not disability, and I'm doing that deliberately. So just for you all to get to know a little bit about each other in this particular sector, let's do a quick round robin. I'm Cheryl Langdon-Orr and I've been involved in accessibility issues mainly as a consumer advocate in the telecommunications area and via some of the work with Gunella in the Australian context in some advice to some organisations and working with our federal government it must be nigh on 15 years. Why do I have a particular interest? Because I'm fascinated with the whole area of open and equitable input into policy development, which is why I got involved in things like ICANN and the Internet Society in the first place, and with my own ongoing disability, which will have me more and more physically disabled over the next decade or so. As I am wheelchair bound, I have a vested interest. So let's go to our next person. We might as well take them down in order on the Adigo list. The Adobe Connect list. I'll come to staff later because I suspect they're here for a whole lot of reasons. We'll have Garth, then Glenn, Gunella, Jolly, and Siranush. So Garth, quick intro from you, thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl. This is Garth. I think this is a good idea to do this sort of background. I actually, when I was in the Boy Scouts a long time ago, we used to work with a blind group of Boy Scouts, and we used to act as guides on camping trips. So that's really going back decades from my first experience. And then in my first systems administrator job, we upgraded the antiquated deaf telecommunication systems, and that was a big project that I was heavily involved in. And this actually kind of extended over into an outreach in general to the deaf community, and we ended up bringing in a whole series of deaf interns from a local deaf high school to work in our document imaging project. And one of these high school students, deaf high school students, we ended up hiring full-time. We ended up sponsoring her to go to college. And she is, you know, I don't work there anymore, but she is one of their most important and effective employees now. And she was also a refugee from the Liberian Civil War. So we, you know, we sort of took her under our wing, and since getting involved in ICANN, I've taken a personal interest in making sure that this project gets off the ground. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks.
Oh, hi, everybody. It's Glenn McKnight. Garth and I would like to just mention that he may be one of the old-timer Boy Scouts, but I tried to get into the Girl Guides, but they wouldn't let me in. Levity aside, my particular interest is the disabled community. Over the last number of years, I've worked with a number of not-for-profits in a consulting capacity, in particular in Ontario under the Disability Act. Some of the things that I've created and done presentations to groups, particularly around the haunt industry, and the haunt industry is the largest holiday next to Christmas. It's a Halloween festival. Those who are not American or North American don't understand this whole ritual, but let me assure you there's huge, huge interest in going to haunted attractions. They're also called horror houses, and I've been doing a number of presentations to the people who've operated these seasonal attractions to be more embracing to the disabled community. So I have a website called Haunt Accessibility and slideshows talking about the positive aspect of accommodating to the ADA guidelines. Just one last thing, Garth and I, from our outreach initiatives from over a year ago, we absolutely looked at the disabled and special needs community in particular, and that's a big interest for us for our Norello outreach. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn. Danella.
Yes, hi everyone. I have worked with disability for over 20 years in a number of different ways through research and development in universities, both in Australia and in Europe. Can you all hear me?
Yes, continue.
Good. And I should say that my interest in disability, I suppose, started as a child, and through a childhood condition I had, which put me in hospital and incapacitated me for a long time. And that continues on throughout my life. So I have personal experience of disability and am a member of Women with Disabilities Australia. I have been national coordinator for KEDICOR, which is an Australian government-funded project to advocate on behalf of people with disabilities to achieve better access to telecommunications products and services in Australia. I've worked in the European context with European Commission projects on improving access. And throughout my career, I've really spent a lot of time creating awareness about disability and access to telecommunications and the internet. As an Internet Society of Australia director, I've been fortunate to work with ISOC globally on disability awareness raising through workshops, both for chapter leaders and for disability organisations. I've run a lot of disability awareness workshops. I've written articles, presented at conferences about access to the internet in a variety of different ways. And coming from the disability sector, I understand and all the different needs. And most recently, I suppose, was working with OSS Registry and their article on the International Day of Persons with Disabilities last year in raising awareness to registries and registrars on the importance of considering web accessibility. So I could say I have quite a lot of experience. Thanks.
I would say a wealth of experience. Thanks very much for that. Jolly.
This is Jolly McPhee for the record. I'd first like to compliment Gunela for her work on the paper she produced for iShock, which is very useful and the best resource that I can sort of find currently. With iShock NY, we've been a chapter since 97. I've been in since about 98. My first experience really with accessibility was I was shoutcasting audio streaming in the early days of streaming around 2000 and running servers. And I picked up a guy from New Zealand who was running a thing called Blindline, which was a streaming radio show for blind people, which has now been picked up by the American Council for the Blind and still runs. They still run a radio that was based, that came from that originally, so I sort of keep up with that. As you probably know, that my main area is like video and webcasting, so I have my distinct interest is in transcription, and I'm promoting the use of Amara, which I think is a good service, and generally trying to crowdsource transcription as much as possible or to find sponsors. I'm by default the organizer of One Web Day after everybody else left. Skipped it. So last year I dedicated it to Cynthia Waddle, and her efforts, which I which I think should be developed and continued, and lastly I've joined the Internet Society's Disabled and Special Needs chapter, and I think that is something that both for those of us that are in iShock, but we should really get in and kind of, it's probably in need of rejuvenation, and we should put some effort that way.
Thank you, Jolly, and yes, I think many of us are very deliberately trying to continue on with the legacy that Cynthia left us. She will be sorely missed in this sector. I recognise that Shirinush is only, let me see if that's better vision, vision, hearing, I'm getting far too much feedback, is only on the Adobe Connect room, so for the record I'm going to read what Shirinush has written to us. She's only via Adobe, so briefly, she volunteers in the Armenian Association for the Disabled, Pyunuk, I hope I'm doing justice for that, which means the bird phoenix, since 1997. The organisation is very much involved in providing numerous activities in support for the disabled. They have many people affected by physical disabilities after the devastating earthquake in 1988, and she was involved in the organisation for summer and winter camps, which they organise each year, annual marathons, participation specifically with wheelchair and physical access issues. The organisation is involved in advocacy and networking for the rights of the disabled, internships, support in providing medical help to many of their organisational members, as well as vocational training, which is designed to provide both training and employment opportunities to the community. It includes silk screen printing and various handicrafts, etc. And to that end, I want to thank Shirinush very much for being a particular advocate within the Asia Pacific space, and note that, of course, her organisation is an at-large structure. Garth has raised a terribly important issue, which is the mailing list name, which is access, ability, not access, ability. And I suspect it is a typo, not a play on words. I don't think we're clever enough to be doing plays on words, but we will fix that. Thank you very much, Garth. The other thing I just wanted to note is, listening to you all, and there's a couple of, obviously, we never cover everything, and what I'd encourage you to do is if you have got your own wiki page, your personal wiki page, your name in linkage from this working group will go to that page. I would encourage you to all put a small space on that page, as I will be doing, and I trust the rest of you will now, and doing a little bio part that was specific on the issues of accessibility, just so we can promote a little more why we, as a beginning, a little kernel of hope to start with for this very important topic, have gathered together. I do want to briefly ask staff to introduce themselves and their interests. They're motivated for all the right reasons, but they may very well have specific focus and interests. But just before I do, I was delighted to see that we had quite a diversity of interests, because accessibility is not just a limitation to, of course, purely physical disability, but even within the physical disability sector, we often find that there is a focus just on visual far too more than just on hearing far too more than just on physical disability, which has got a mobility outcome. So the fact that we've got such a broad range of interests here, I think, moves well for what we're doing, because it's very easy to fall into the trap of just thinking visual, just thinking auditory, or just thinking motor skills and mobility. We have also got on our agenda a discussion on how diverse we will be in our early work. Can I just ask Heidi, then Sylvia, then Gisela to very quickly introduce themselves?
Thank you, Cheryl. My name is Heidi Ulrich. I'm Senior Director for At Large, and my interest in being here is that, well, firstly, I support the At Large community, so it is my duty to be here, but also having worked with ICANN and Cheryl for the last 5 years, I've really gained an interest from her expertise in accessibility issues, and we've had lots of Skype chats about how to ensure that the color is correct for the font size, the font type, et cetera. So I'm looking forward to learning a lot on this. And I also want to just let you know that Christopher Mondini, who has been in touch with all of you about these issues, he sends his apologies. He is currently in the air, flying home back to Los Angeles. We do hope that Joe Catapano is going to be joining us shortly. He works with Christopher. And he is in D.C. juggling the snow and a baby, so he should be joining any moment now.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to Joe coming. Sylvia, go ahead.
Yes, hello everyone. I am Sylvia Vivanco. My job is I am a manager of the 5 Railroads, and I really welcome this initiative. As Heidi said, it's part of our job to be here and to support, in my case, the initiative that comes from the bottom. And this is truly an initiative that came from the bottom, from Naralo, from AP Rallo, through Siranush, and we really congratulate this initiative. And my goal personally is to make the Rallos more open, to have the Rallos as a place where the users, including the disabled communities, can come and feel that they have a place where they can collaborate and share with the rest and learn about the internet and about ICANN and to have a voice. So to that extent, that I think is the broader scope of this initiative to include people with disabilities is great, and well, I'm just looking forward to seeing this working group consolidate and is a pioneer on within ICANN, actually. So I'm very happy to work with you.
Thanks, Sylvia, and it is exactly what you said, pioneering and very exciting indeed. And just before I go to Gisela, I'd also suspect that with your legal background, you also, as both Garth and Glenn have raised, but also Ganilla and myself to a lesser extent have worked with, and Jolly's also pointed out, the importance of, in some cases, going to the rights of accessible and equitable issues. Do have matters in various countries in various ways, but also there are some universal rights that I'm sure we'll be talking about as we get through our work. So a little legal work goes a long way sometimes in this. Okay, Gisela? If you can come off mute.
Thank you, Cheryl. Gisela here for the record. Sorry, can you hear me?
We can, perfectly, thanks.
Hello?
Yep, you're right.
Thank you. Gisela for the record. My name's Gisela Gruber. I've been working with ICANN now for 5 years. I work in the provide administrative and secretariat support for at large. And having worked with Cheryl over the past 5 years, I think my point of view is mainly the purely logistics within the ICANN meetings for the the accessibility for those who, Cheryl's going to have to help me here.
Ask
Cheryl.
No, I'm allowed to say it, you're not.
Yes, the physical accessibility during the ICANN meeting, so that to allow people who are in wheelchairs who have walking disabilities, which is sometimes very tricky. So we've always got to find the back route, sometimes even the service lifts, but I think we do quite well. And also, I think from my point of view, what is interesting as well is, for instance, when we're at the meetings, the interpreters, unless you say your name in the microphone, they don't know who's speaking, and for that matter, people who are blind will not know who's speaking.
Thanks,
so I'm looking forward to working with you all. Thank you.
Thanks, Gisela. Cheryl again for the record. And I did actually do that terminology quite deliberately, because we will be constantly challenged by trying to have conversations and be politically correct. Most of us have a good sense of humour, and whilst all of our records will be open, I would ask us to be tolerant with terminology, but of course it is a fact, it's very difficult for Gisela to describe mobility and lack of mobility issues in an easy way. But yeah, I mean, she's had to have me carted up and down in lifts with the garbage, so yes, she certainly managed it. Quite literally, me and the refuge have been in some of the spaces to get around some of these areas which ICANN has meetings in. So it gives us a good grounding for the work to be done. Heidi, when Joe joins us, we'll have a little brief intro from him, hopefully, but just in case, working with Chris, obviously, his interests are in getting this all right, isn't it?
Yeah, Cheryl, I'll let you know when he joins.
Terrific. Okay. Thanks very much. Now, I must say, I've never minded going with the garbage, but I have seen some awfully lot of interesting back ends involved in some of the venues. You see, you guys only ever usually get to see all the shiny, bright and wonderful parts of these places we meet in. Believe me, when you go behind some of the doors, there's a whole new world out there. You've been with me every step. I'm sure some of you think you have seen it. Okay, so that's it. Just the tiniest things, for example, it's only taken, probably only, I guess, 8 years, maybe? It would have been about 2009. I started suggesting it would be a very good time to try and have the rooms allocated to me closer to the lift. In the last few months, literally in the last 3 or 4 months, I now have that listed. Please request a room close to the lift when I can constituency travel, book my room. And that's the sort of thing that makes a huge difference to many of us. But of course, without Danella and people like you working nationally and internationally to make that accessibility within venues happen, it's something that we would never be able to benefit from. So we're all working for the one end here, and it's an exciting thing indeed, particularly from an ICANN perspective. So let's get down to some of our other discussion points, having given ourselves reasonable time for an intro. Yes, certainly.
Yes, I've just heard from Joe that he is on the call. So, Joe, I'm just sending you an email to let you know what's going to be happening in just a moment. So,
okay.
Jump
in the deep end, Joe.
Sorry about that. So, I'm not sure how long you've been on the call, but we have just finished giving it. Okay. So, Cheryl, do you want to let him know?
Yeah, Joe, if you'd like to give a very brief intro. Chris, I think we've worked through it a little bit, but you're a new name for us.
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Joe Catapano. I am the coordinator for Global Stakeholder Engagement in North America, working with Christopher Mondini. I have been with ICANN since late September. I work out of the D.C. office, and I'm happy to be here and be in this this group and help on this very important initiative.
Thanks, Joe, and I'm glad that things like being snowed in, et cetera, have even allowed you to join us. And Chris has got this really good excuse of being at 32,000 feet, but of course, if we have good universal design, and good accessibility principles, even if you are snowed in, you should be able to still get to do at least some, if not all, of what you need to do in a day. So it really is if you can get it right for accessibility for specific needs, then we can usually get it right for the whole community. So there's no downside in exploring all of these things. So welcome, and thank you very much for joining us. We look forward to working with you and the rest of your team over the coming months. And to that end, let's jump to our next piece of agenda, which is where I thought we'd look at reviewing our purpose and our proposed activities, recognising we're going to have some short-term I think we're talking about by the end of the year stuff that we can do, medium-term, which would be in financial year 15-16, and it'd be nice to have some longer, maybe 3-year term of engagement planning done. None of that will be, of course, covered very much in today's introductory short meeting, but it's always good to recognise that, we're here for a project that may in fact take us a little while and that we will have to prioritise even if we recognise important needs and opportunity. Sometimes things have to be done in a certain order, or sometimes things have to be done before something else can happen. So let's look at the purpose of our ad hoc working group. And obviously, I don't think we need to discuss the fact of we're here to make ICANN a global leader in accessibility and to allow for engagement of all in its activities and to have input into its policies and processes. I think that's a given. That's why we're all here. But we have had some discussion on this and on the wiki chats, and one of them, the first points raised, was the possibility, if not advantage, of changing the name to the following, which is the at-large ad hoc ICANN Access and Diversity Working Group. And Ganella proposed this, and she's given us an excellent rationale, which I've put in the notes, but I'm going to ask her to speak to it. So over to you, Ganella.
Thank you, Cheryl, and thank you again for having this group set up and you as interim chair. I think this is such a great initiative, and obviously I've been advocating in a variety of channels for accessibility, and to actually have it us come together for a start is absolutely wonderful. So when it comes to the name, I think we need to be very clear on what we are going to be doing and what groups we're going to be representing. And the initial populations are people with disability, people from Indigenous backgrounds, and then a very diverse groups of homeless people, refugees, and so forth. And my first concern is that we are drawing this net very, very widely, and I'm wondering if really that is practical to cover all of those particular groups in the one working group here. And because there is so much work on accessibility for people with disability for a start, and while we want to cover as much as possible, we have to be careful that we don't dilute our efforts. So my point, first of all, is should we only cover disability in this working group, and then the name is correct, the Accessibility Working Group. But if for whatever reasons we need to cover the broader population, then we need to reflect that in the name of a working group, which I suggested would be Access and Diversity. Thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you, and I'd like to open that up for some comment. So you can always put the hypothesis and the proposal forward. Let's talk it over. The floor is open. Either just speak up or wave at me in a digo. No, in the Adobe room, not in the digo. It would be very difficult to wave on the audio bridge. If you did, I wouldn't see you. Okay. Some comments from anyone? Yes, Garth, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Garth. And we ask, are there any particular terms that we should absolutely stay away from that people might consider offensive?
Some sectors, as you show for the record, even balk at terms like disability, and that's where you end up in the special needs area. I've always found it safest to go with the positive aspects like accessibility. But then, there is a lot of different cultural, acceptances in various areas. It's not unusual, for example, in societies doing fantastic work in some emerging and developing economies to find absolutely no problem and good leverage, because it's clearly understood to have, crippled children's benefit groups and things like that. Now, that jars on people like me, unless I use it about me, and yet it's perfectly acceptable in some of those economies. But in ICANN, we will be engaging. So I think we need to have a nice thick armour and be very open and inclusive and accept pretty much whatever language comes our way. But I think there's probably advantage from an ICANN point of view and from it being a best practice organisation to be cautious and smart, and certainly not go outside of what's considered norms in the more advanced and numerous countries that its active participants come from. So that's sort of a very wishy-washy answer from my perspective, recognising I'm more than happy to recognise that I'm going to end up crippled, therefore there's nothing wrong with the word. But I also recognise that is something that, is not acceptable in some norms. So, Ganella, over to you.
Thanks, Cheryl. Terminology is always challenging in this particular area, and terminology changes as advocacy changes over the years. In the past, handicap was an acceptable word. Then disabled people was acceptable. Then it needed to be people with disability, and then persons with disability. So it is challenging. But I think if we can reflect current thinking in the disability community is useful. One term in the disability community that people are concerned about is special needs. And it relates to that people with disabilities often feel, okay, we have special needs, no one else does. And we are put in a box to the side having these special needs. It's really that the community is placing barriers before people who have a disability, and therefore there are particular needs that need to be addressed. So again, Cheryl mentioned about universal design, and so if the physical and the online community can be based on universal design, then people with disability don't have any special needs. They're just part of the community. So that is one particular term that I would be concerned with us using.
Thanks very much for that, Ganella. Because I'm typing in the chat, which means I can't see if anyone's got their hand up, is there anyone else with a hand up? Nope. Okay. I think what we might do is put this proposed change. Now, first of all, let me ask you a question, Cheryl, for the record. The new at-large ad hoc ICANN Access and Diversity Working Group, do you see any limitation in that text? I personally don't, but I want to check with you that you don't either. I, for example, do not see that that is excluding any of the disadvantaged groups. Is that the case?
Thanks, Cheryl. This is Gwendolyn here for the record. No, I think that if we are going to include those different populations in this group, then access and diversity really does cover it all.
Okay. So to that end, I guess we should ask two questions, but I'll go to Garth first. Over to you, Garth. Cheryl.
Thank you. This is Garth. I just want to make sure that nobody confuses what we're doing with other types of accessibility, you know, in terms of connectivity of technology or language issues, and that people understand what we're doing concerns, you know, physical accessibility of the users.
Okay, Cheryl here. I've just dropped from the Adobe room. It will hopefully find an alternate server. So Heidi, if you could help me with any call management if you see me disappear. Oh, and I'm back again. I actually don't think that there's a downside. I think I'm not particularly concerned if getting universal design and equitable accessibility, which is inclusive of all of the challenges that the various either disadvantaged or physical or handicapped slides of terminology would bring in, also includes, you know, reasonable bandwidth, because, for example, if you look at the communication requirements over telephonic and modern computing possibility, you actually need, there's a big benefit, for example, for video over internet protocol, not communication over internet protocol, because giving video over internet protocol does allow for far more access for far more groups, including the ability to have real-time signing and natural flow conversation for those with hearing issues. So I kind of am not fearful of allowing those in, but I see Ganella has her hand up, and obviously, Garth, you would like to respond to that. So let's take Ganella and then go back to you, Garth.
Thanks, Cheryl. This is Ganella here for the record. There's been sometimes confusion about the word access and accessibility. In the disability community, access is widely used, access and accessibility. In the internet community, sometimes there is some confusion between access and accessibility, in that the general internet community uses access to the infrastructure to mean one thing, whereas accessibility to websites or to online videos is another. So I think, Garth, we have to take that into account. But if we are going to use the full name Access and Diversity, I think that gives the connotation that we're not talking necessarily about the technical access to the infrastructure in terms of just general, apart from the access and accessibility to the infrastructure and websites and so forth. So I think if we are going to include the broader populations, which I have some concerns with, access and diversity should be able to explain clearly what the group is about. Thanks.
Thanks very much. Garth, over to you.
Thank you, Cheryl. This is Garth again. Yeah, so, I mean, obviously technology is going to be a big part of this. People with special needs will need special technology, and they're going to need more bandwidth in certain cases. I just don't want other people to have false expectations about what they would be able to get out of this group. I don't want somebody who is focused on expanding ICANN's language reach to think that we're going to specifically help them in the working group. And the same goes for people who may specifically have a technological accessibility, like they're trying to get connectivity in their region, not necessarily associated with disabled issues, thinking that we're going to help them. But I would also feel that the way that we resolve this is through the actual membership of this group. So, and I think that if we have more people from disabled communities within the working group and within at large, they will help shape the agenda from their own perspective. So I think that's one way we can do that.
Great. Thank you very much. I'm going to go to Glenn and then Jolly. Glenn.
Well, thank you, Glenn, for the record. On the accessibility issue in terms of access, as Garth was saying, for the last 5 years I've worked with the largest engineering society, IEEE, and we had something called the Humanitarian Technology Challenge with the UN. And we did a number of pilot projects of low-cost internet access. There's a whole other group of people that are doing some amazing stuff or dealing with the digital divide, the economic barrier stuff, and each of your countries have IEEE chapters. Also, the ISOC Small Grants Program has some financial incentives as well. I just think it's a slippery slope if we start to embrace all the accessibility issues. I thought this committee, when we first started talking, was going to be focused on quote-unquote, the disabled area. So that's particularly my interest. Not to say those other two are not of interest for me, but I thought we would just focus on something like most committees that I'm on. I'm on my own local city accessibility committee, we don't deal with any of those other issues. We just basically deal with the Disability Act in Ontario and what is the city legally obligated on their website or physical barrier. So just in summary, I just think we need to get a focus for what this group is.
That's why we're having the conversation, Glenn. Cheryl, for the record. Go ahead, Jolly.
This is Jolly, for the record. Well, I just think there's, you know, there's a contradiction if you're going to call yourself diversity and then you're going to, like, put on a restriction. You can't, you know, have your cake and eat it. So if you're going to restrict it to just a physical disability, you may call it the Physical Disability Working Group. But, you know, personally, I think it's good to, you know, to aspirational wide thing and then say, you know, this currently is our focus because we have restricted resources.
Thank you, Jolly. It's scary when I hear you channeling some of my thoughts, but frequently and often you do so. it appears to me that we have a watershed moment, and it's a very common one in most of these important and essential conversations as we start up particularly important work. I would like to remind you that in the absence of Julia, and Julia, for example, she's one of the Uralo people, is one who has quite specifically was keen to get disadvantaged groups. Now, I'm just turning disadvantaged groups as to whether or not it is access disadvantage. Notice my use of access, not accessibility. Access to internet and access to ICANN activities, programs and policy development activities. Whether it is remote, rural and all that other grab bag of I can't engage because I'm too far away or I'm able to get engaged with you type issues. So I'm concerned that we do not push babies out with bathwater, and certainly we will take this conversation perhaps as a first reading and allow for a second reading. But I do see some light at the tunnel here and I'd like to drill down to it. Jolly, you've still got your hand up. Is that an old hand or would you like to say something else?
That is an old hand.
Well, you are an old hand, so that's fine by me, Jolly. And it's Cheryl for the record again, although I suspect the transcript people know my dulcet tone so well they really don't know have any problem knowing who I am. With our work, Jolly hit on something that's very important. If we're going to have a view of being able to give ICANN some advice and guidance on how it can be as open and accessible as possible for broad, if not total, because total is a very difficult thing to get, but broad community input into it, either directly via website, with its physical locations, with its new offices, with its physical choice of physical meetings, with whatever special design or facilities need to be considered when they're making choices, with compliance with existing best practices such as we had out of W3C Consortium, or all of the above. If we're going to do that, and I think that's what we're on about, then there is no reason why, in my view, we need to be too narrow in our title, but we can prioritise our focus and what we will be dealing with when. So I see no problem with a change of name to something that does include access and diversity in its title. I'm very comfortable with that. but I recognize that the low-hanging fruit, the stuff we'll be able to work with more effectively, will allow us to look at the matters, for example, of what is happening with the new website design that's about to be rolled out, with the MyICAN, for example, being integrated and ported across into a new design, all that sort of thing, making sure that is right and accessible. That's the easiest part. So, I mean, I'm sure all of us have done a run-through on the ICANN website and with the various tools and found how compliant or not. Unfortunately, it is not in a lot of ways as compliant as it should be for accessibility measures. That's all a low-hanging fruit, and we will do that. But it would be a very good thing if we could take some very helicopter or very high-level views on some principles and propose to ICANN some even checklists that it and its component parts may wish to use and then later must use, we would like to think, when they are making virtually any decision about choice of design, choice of location, choice of how things are done. And if we're going to do that, there is no reason why things like language, which you've raised, cannot be included. Some of you will have known that I spent an awful lot of my ICANN time being the only purely English, and because I'm Australian, people even question the fact of whether I speak English or not, English-speaking advocate in the early work of the internationalised domain names, because I've taken a very broad view on accessibility as important in ICANN. So I don't have a problem if we're more inclusive or less inclusive. Yes, Glenn, it is finishing in 4 minutes. Do you have a problem with that? But if not, we'll still be finishing in 4 minutes. We just will be carrying over an agenda, which I don't have a problem with either. But we can stick with the current title or not, and what I'm going to do is ask you now to indicate, and this is just a poll because we'll put it to the list, not everyone is on the call, as to whether or not you do think there is merit in proposing a name change to be the Access and Diversity Working Group. And if you do think that's a good idea, put up a green tick. And if you don't think that's a good idea, as Garth doesn't, put up a red cross. And democracy being what it is, it means that we will mention to the list that the name will be staying the same and that we will be having a focus specifically on the the accessibility that is limited. We then go back and remove the references to our Aboriginal, Indigenous and disadvantaged groups. Is that your wish? So if you want us to, yes, I recognise that language and access have much attention in ICANN, and that's very much because of people like me working on it. We've done that as an accessibility issue. However, if you want to talk about visual, hearing, physical disability, then that's fine. So what we're proposing is removal of inclusion of our purpose for disadvantaged, Indigenous, etc. groups. So we will leave our name as it is and we will remove... I just have Glenn. Let me state it again.
Cheryl, you're saying a lot. Can you just be clear? Just say what are we voting on? The one thing so we can say agree or disagree.
Removal of the reference to other than the physical disabilities. In other words, removal of our purpose looking at Indigenous and other disadvantaged communities.
That's clear as mud. Thank you.
The second part to that, take down your green crosses, and I notice that Jolly hasn't voted, and I'm Sarah Bush hasn't, and neither have I, because this is just a brief poll to see whether we'll do a vote or a more formal poll on the list. So not everyone's here. The next one is, if assuming that we will leave our name as is. So we will need our name as is, and we will not change it at all. So if you want to leave our name as is, put up a green tick. Okay, that makes that simple. Terrific. Okay. And, Genoa, I'll just read to the record that you voted against the new name because you think other disadvantaged groups might need other work groups to deal with their issue. They may be different from disability and accessibility issues. That is so noted. Thank you very much. Okay. Well, we've taken longer than in an ideal world I had planned to get through that review of our purpose, but unless we get our purpose specified very early on, we will start wafting around, as Glenn is clearly indicating I do, during our processes later. So we also spent more time in our round robin, but I think getting to know each other was important, so I don't have too much of a problem with that. I'm going to ask you all to do a couple of pieces of homework before our next meeting. And that is to review our existing web and wiki space and to make some suggestions in the comments box for any useful tools. And we will ask you to start putting some short term, what do you think we can do by end of calendar year, medium term, what we can do by next financial year, and longer term ideological plans and concepts to the list or onto the wiki, and we will make that the main subject of our discussion in our next meeting. And I'd like to ask you now, what type of meeting frequency would you like? Would you like to have a meeting every fortnight? Would you like to have a meeting once a month? What is your preference? So if you would like to have a meeting in a fortnight, I think weekly is probably a bit silly, but in a fortnight, please make yourself known. But first of all, I see Ganoa. Ganoa, over to you.
Thanks, Cheryl. This is Ganoa for the record. I think there's a lot to do initially in this working group. The discussion we've had today has been very important because we need to be very clear. We agree on framing this working group, and so we can start from there, from a solid basis. And bearing in mind we do have a lot of work to do, I suggest fortnightly meetings to start with to work through planning, and once we have some of that in place, we can then go to monthly meetings, but we can assess that as we go along. Thank you.
Thank you, Ganoa. That's Cheryl for the record, and that certainly works for me. Let's go to Glenn. Glenn?
Hey, thank you, Cheryl. A couple of months ago, Chris Medini started to email all of us in this interest group, and he was asking particular questions, and we all shared with him our concept of the goals and our achievables and tangible implementation strategy. Unfortunately, he's not on the call, but I'm hoping that perhaps Joe, who's staff person with Chris, can salvage that material that all of us were sharing. So that's background, valuable information that the rest of the group should share.
Thank you very much, Glenn. And I want to just quickly establish whether or not we have fortnightly or monthly. I'm seeing both Garth and Sirinush talking for monthly, I don't mind one way or the other. Jolly, can I ask you, do you have a particular preference for either fortnightly or monthly, fortnightly in the short term and then monthly. You're like me, you'll just do what it is when it does, and Glenn is monthly. Okay, well, it looks like majority seems to rule here. Monthly it is. It's going to then for the probably a 90-minute call, not a 60-minute call, because there'll be far more work and discussion to do monthly. Jolie has indicated he likes the current time, and that was my next question. You are channeling me again, Jolie. It is amazing how often you do that. So we've got other people, Garth, coming in to support this. So let's assume we will meet in a month's time at 1900, or we've got a choice, 19 to 2000 UTC. Would 2000 UTC be a problem? We've got a majority of people saying they like 1920s okay with Jolly. Can I just ask you to put up a green tick? 20 would be very late for Cyrenoish. Remember, we're talking 90-minute call, not a 60-minute call, 90-minute call. Can we split the difference and have 1930 UTC starting? Is there anyone who does not, who cannot make 1930? Okay, it is a challenge. It is a challenge. 1900 for 90 minutes. Ganelli, you are in the minority. Do you mind starting 1900 for 90 minutes? Oh, well, yep, Ganella's giving up gracefully. Thank you very much, Ganella. I would prefer to have full consensus. So, Gisela, you'll make the magic happen with finding the I'm assuming this day, but we'll just make sure it doesn't clash. If it does clash with an existing call, let us know, and we'll have it in another month's time. We need to do a lot of work online, on the wiki and in email, and if it goes in email, it needs to go on the wiki, because the wiki is the permanent repository. And to that end, I'd like to thank you one and all. Apologise for being some 7 minutes over our designated 60-minute call, but not apologise for the fact that we've had, I think, very robust and useful conversation. Joe, if you and Heidi and I care to get together with maybe Chris in a little sub-team, and we'll see what sort of resources and possibilities of links and things that your group already is aware of that you can bring into our wiki page, so our people aren't giving to you what you already know and do. That would be good, because I think we also need to know what your current state of play in making accessibility and universal design part of your program is. To that end, I'd like to thank you one and all, and I look forward, as I think everyone else does, to working in this very important initiative. So at almost 10 minutes past the hour, 8 minutes by my clock, thank you one and all, and I will look forward to chatting with you online between now and the next meeting. Bye for now.
Bye-bye, everyone.
All right.
Thank you. Yep.